Good morning and welcome to the Vines this morning on this first service for 2026. Remembering to write 2026 on your, when you write the date. We hope you've had a good Christmas and we hope that in 2026 you may all know the fullness of the light of Christ in your life. Now again, welcome to you all, and particularly welcome to Reverend Dr. Anna Grant Henderson. And Anna is with us for the first time. Well, it's not the first time Anna's been here, but Anna's going to be our supply minister for the next few months, which will be wonderful, on a part-time basis. So we will see more of Anna as time goes by. In lighting the Christ candle this morning, I thought I would read some passages from John's Gospel and from Matthew. Firstly, from John chapter 1, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. And then later in John's Gospel, we read this in chapter 8. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life." And then Matthew records Jesus saying this, "You are the light of the world." You, me. "You are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, the lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." And one more, which I find staggering, really. It doesn't mention the word light, but the implication is there nonetheless. Jesus said in John 14, "When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." Rather a staggering thought to start the year. Jesus saying, "I am in you." Not might be, not could be, not will be, but I am in you. We're going to stand, and I invite you to stand if you're able to. We're going to sing a song that we all know really well. Please stand.
God of God, light of light,
And thank you that we can gather together this morning in adoration. Gather in the knowledge and the security and the safety that you are the light of the world, that you brought light into the world, and we live and move and have our being by you present in us as the living light, shining in the dark times, shining in the good times. And for all that you have done for us, with us, and in us, Lord, we give you praise and thanks. Amen. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul, and I will trust in you alone. And I will trust in you alone, for your endless mercy follows me. Will lead me home. He guides my ways in righteousness, and he anoints my head with oil, and my cup it overflows with joy. I feast on his pure delights, and I will trust in you. And I will trust in you alone, for your endless mercy follows me, your goodness will lead me home. And though I walk the darkest path, I will not fear the evil one, for you are with me. The comfort I need to know, and I will trust in you alone, and I will trust in you alone, for your endless mercy follows me, your goodness will lead me. Forgotten where we're up to.
Repeating.
Have we sung the third verse yet?
Repeating the chorus.
Oh, we've sung the third verse, haven't we? It's one of those days. And I will trust in you alone. I will trust in you alone. For your endless mercy follows me. For your endless mercy, for your endless mercy.
Jesus, mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me home.
And even if I forget where we're up to, it doesn't matter, because God knows where I am. And that's probably the most important thing. I only really have one notice this morning. You may be aware, I think we mentioned at one stage, that we had another meeting of the Joint Nominating Committee last week, during the week, with a potential candidate. And I can say with caution, to a certain degree, that meeting went really well. We still have some way to travel in that conversation. So please keep us in your prayers. The JNC, which consists of Marge, myself and Wendy, and also Simon Dent and Kay Bailey representing the presbytery. But it was a very positive conversation. So we hope, we pray, we talk some more and see where it goes. So keep us in your prayers. That would be fantastic. Emma.
It's rather amazing in a way, isn't it? I'm back here after 40 years leaving this. I hope my time with you will be a blessing. And what I'd like to say is that my phone number will be available. If anyone wants to just talk with me, I'm very happy to visit, to just talk about anything. Okay, so I'd just like to have that as an open invitation. Let us come before God with prayer of confession. Let us pray. Lord God, you've given us a world of beauty and we have spoilt it. A world to feed us and so many go hungry. A world of riches and we're unwilling to share. A world to care for and we think only of ourselves. Forgive us, gracious God, for those times your heart is saddened by our selfishness, for those times we have no thought for others, no cares but our own. Enable us to see this world anew as a gift from you, to be shared and nurtured, and those who live upon it to be loved and cared for. We ask this, that your name may be glorified through the beauty of this world and the service of our lives. Amen. And the words of assurance. God does not forget. God does not forget God's promise of infinite forgiveness. Today, in this very moment, we all stand forgiven. We all stand with open eyes to see the forgiveness and grace and the love of God. Amen. One of the things you're going to have to find out, and hopefully forgive me for, is that I usually preach from the Old Testament, simply because I'm not sure how many people do actually preach from the Old Testament. And so therefore it's worthwhile giving it the context of the readings. Now the first reading you hear is from Jeremiah, and it's part of a book called the Book of Consolation. Jeremiah 30 to 33 is this consolation book. Now Jeremiah is still in Jerusalem. But most of the people have been taken away by Nebuchadnezzar to Babylon. And so you have the majority of people in Babylon, and you have Jerusalem with Jeremiah preaching to the few there. And he's giving a message that they don't like. He's saying that the new Jerusalem will be those who come back from Babylon. Now, if you're in Jerusalem and you're hearing that, it's not something you want to hear. At one point, he's actually put in prison because of that. So this reading comes in the middle of this saying that these people will be coming back, God will be gracious to them. A little bit further on is this extraordinary covenant which will be on the heart. Now that's hundreds of years before Christ, and you'll hear that reading, you'll hear that bit in the Hebrew reading. But this covenant says that no longer will you need to rely on the Mosaic covenant, the conditional covenant. You will have the covenant written on your heart. Now that is an extraordinary thing that's been there. So when you hear the Hebrew reading, you'll hear that in it. And it's being read to second generation Christians who maybe are beginning to go astray, and they're calling them back. And Hebrews is very clear that in the past, the sacrifice was every year to renew the sacrifice. But now, with Christ, that sacrifice has been made once and for all. And so we'll hear these readings in those contexts. Someone's going to read those for us. Thank you.
Our first reading is from Jeremiah, chapter 31, verses 7 to 14. For thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, save, O Lord, your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I am going to bring them from the land of the north, and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth. Among them the blind and the lame, those with child and those in labour together, a great company, they shall return here. With weeping they shall come, and with consolations I will lead them back. I will let them walk by brooks of water, in a straight path in which they shall not stumble. For I have become a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the coastlands, far away. Say, he who scattered Israel will gather him, and will keep him as a shepherd a flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob, and has redeemed him from hands too strong for him. They shall come and sing aloud on the height of Zion, and they shall be radiant over the goodness of the Lord, over the grain, the wine, and the oil, and over the young of the flock and the herd. Their life shall become like a watered garden, and they shall never languish again. Then shall the young women rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old shall be merry. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give them gladness for sorrow. I will give the priests their fill of fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my bounty, says the Lord. Second reading is from Hebrews chapter 8, verses 8 to 13. God finds fault with them when he says, the days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will establish a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their ancestors on the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, for they did not continue in my covenant, and so I had no concern for them, says the Lord. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will be merciful towards their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. In speaking of a new covenant, he has made the first one obsolete, and what is obsolete and growing old will soon disappear. This is the word of the Lord.
I think that's an incredible passage of scripture. that God has written something on our hearts. We've all got something written on our hearts. Keep that in mind.
John Wesley, a long time ago, had a covenant service by which adherents, the start of every year, that they would recommit themselves to God. And the Methodist picks that up, and I think probably used it. The Uniting Church has got the service in the little blue book. I'm not sure uses it very much. But what I'm going to ask you to do after this sermon is basically use that, if you're willing to recommit yourselves to God, because it's the beginning of a new year, it's communion, there's a high hope that you'll have a new minister, and so you'll have a chance to read it first. But as David said, it's quite challenging. So I'd like you to read it and then decide for yourselves whether you actually want to make that commitment. But we're going to talk first of all about covenants. There's lots and lots of them in the Old Testament, hundreds of them in fact. And often they're conditional. So they'll start off with something like, if a man steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters it or sells it, he must pay back, etc., etc. There's consequences. If, then there's consequences. If a thief is caught breaking in at night and is struck a fatal blow, the defender is not guilty of bloodshed. But in fact, it's interesting. If that happens during the day, then he's guilty of bloodshed. It's extraordinary, some of these things. If a stolen animal is found alive in their possession, whether ox or donkey or sheep, they must pay back double. So there's lots of these conditional consequences. Then there are just hundreds of straight out commands. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. And so on. Straight out ones. Now that's basically through the book of Exodus. Now Leviticus moves into the sort of ritual type things. Great detail about what is correct procedure to prevent it. So what we have is, if your offering is a goat, you are to present it before the Lord. Lay your hand on the head and slaughter it in front of the tent, then Aaron's sons shall splash the blood against the altar. So again, there's quite significant detail, and it goes on for dozens and dozens of different things that you can and can't do. And there's a whole case for clean and unclean food. Say to the Israelites, of all the animals that live, they're the ones that you may eat. It's interesting, you may eat in any animal that has a divided hoof and that chews the cud. Now, if one of them does something and doesn't do the other, then they're unclean. So the ones that are unclean is a camel, you can't eat it. It has a divided hoof but doesn't eat curd. You have a rock badger, you can't eat, a rabbit, and pig. And you're not allowed to eat their meat. It's unclean for you. And things like, don't make idols or set up an image of sacred stone, and do not place a carved stone in your land to bow down before it. It says, I am the Lord your God. That really is a very strong one against them. But then it follows in Leviticus, I'll send you, if you follow this and do these things, I will send you rain in season, and the ground will yield crops. Your threshing will continue. So there's a consequence, a good consequence, if you follow some of these things, then everything will go well for you. That's Leviticus. Then there's a whole lot more. We come to Deuteronomy. Well, the whole book of Deuteronomy is set out as a covenant document right from the very beginning. Moses summoned all Israel and said, hear Israel, the decrees and laws I declare to you in your hearing. Learn them, be sure to follow them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb. It was not with our ancestors, but the Lord made the covenant. This is all that we are here now. So constantly there's this upcoming, that the covenant is always being renewed, it's always now with the people. Hear Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and might. We know that one, that comes through. There's a number of things that come through from these laws, and some are picked up because they're actually quite sensible. But, you know, there's an awful lot that are difficult to follow. So these commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. And be careful to follow every command I'm giving you, that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land. That's what Deuteronomy is about. If you do all these things, then you will be able to go into the land and possess it. Now, just a word of warning there. Sometimes people will say, well, I follow everything that's in the Bible. Well, neither Jew or Christian can follow everything that's in the Bible, because the laws in Leviticus are for people who've got a temple. We don't follow them. We don't do sacrifices. And neither can the Jews do it at the temple, because they no longer have access to the temple. But just be aware, you know, we can't follow every single command or idea that's in the Bible. Now, there's a few in Deuteronomy which are really quite interesting. They show a real care. So if a person has taken the cloak of a poor man because of some misdemeanor, that person has to give the cloak back at night so the person is warm, doesn't suffer the cold. So it's incredibly caring. If you see a fledgling fall out of a nest, you are required to pick it up and put it back. So there's a number, and there's quite a number of those sort of caring things in the Bible. But my guess is we don't really read them very much, do we, to be honest? How many people actually would read through Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers? Not very. That's fine. I don't expect you to. So, the covenant is dependent on people's response to the law, which is given through Moses. That's the first lot of covenant that we have. It says, now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all the people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which I shall speak to the children of Israel. A And God tells Moses that if Israel obeys, they'll be his chosen people, his treasured possession. And ultimately, these blessings will be extended to all people. Now that's the conditional promise that's there in the beginning for a conditional covenant. What's the problem? Oh, by the way, I was told that you do answer back. You will engage according to what I've been told. I'm not just asking a rhetorical question. What are the problems with a conditional covenant? See, you can't just sit there and sort of, you know, doze away. This isn't the first one. Pardon? There isn't much grace. That's fine. Yes? Well, if all those conditional commands are there, that's what they're asking, what do you think happens? Are they likely to be met? No? I finally got David to get to the point where they're not likely to be met. Are you likely to be able to meet all the conditions that are set out in any conditional covenant? Are you likely to meet all the laws that we have today? Are you? I was driving to, I do dancing, and I was 49 kilometers an hour. A week or so later, I get a notice telling me for I was in a 40 kilometer thing. I just didn't see the notice. So do you think, do you all keep all the laws that we have in this country at the moment? Do you think you can keep them all? No. We cannot, as a people, keep a whole heap of laws that are set out, whether it's the covenant laws from the Old Testament or whether it's laws in the land. Somehow we will ultimately, even by not knowing, we'll break them by mistake, or we will break them willingly. Because sometimes, if we're wanting to stand up for justice, now this is a sermon that will come later, not now, you have to stand up against the law. Okay, so we've got a problem with convention, with conditional covenants. Yes, we agree on that? Yes? No one's going to claim that they can keep them all the laws. No. Okay, let's go on to unconditional covenants. And we have four major ones. We have a Noah one, Abraham and David, and a new covenant. So the Noah one you probably know is, I will establish my covenant with you that never again shall all the flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. Now, an unconditional covenant is pure grace. You talked about grace. And there's nothing that Noah or descendants must do to ensure this promise is fulfilled. That's right. It's just God will do it. It's a total and utter promise. And sometimes I hope that we can hold on to that in light of what's happening with our creation. So that's the Noah covenant. Then we have the Abraham covenant, which is interesting. Abraham 12 says, now the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you. I'll make your name great, etc., etc., etc. It's everything that God will do. I will do these things. God is speaking to him. And so there's three specific things. He'll make him a great nation. The nation shall be led into the promised land. And through Abraham, all people of the earth will be blessed. Now, there's no response actually said. There's no condition to it. But one presumes that Abraham is prepared to leave home, isn't he? Otherwise it wouldn't happen. So it's unconditional in these promises, but there is ultimately, Abram has to be willing to leave and to go and to do it. Then we have the Davidic promise to David in 2 Samuel. And basically he's being promised that that all will be well. When your days are complete, you lie down with your fathers, I'll raise up your descendants after you, I'll come forth from you, I'll establish this kingdom, etc., etc. And it says at the end, your throne shall be established forever. Well, we know that that hasn't happened. There's no David on the throne. So here God makes a royal grant to David, and his descendants in his house will rule over Israel forever. Now, whether Israel claims that, I don't know. But no, as far as I know, that's not there. Then we have this extraordinary new covenant. Jeremiah, behold, the days are coming when I make a new covenant with the house of Israel according to their fathers, etc., 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 and they will be my people, and no one shall ever... let's read it properly, Anna. No more should every man teach his neighbor, and every man is saying, now know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember them no more. And now this passage makes several promises. He will give them the ability and the desire to follow him, change their hearts, and give them a zeal for obedience. He'll be their God, and they'll be his people. He'll forgive the sins of his people. Now, it's a theology beyond its time. So, what are the problems with an unconditional covenant? You should have been expecting this by now. What are the problems with an unconditional covenant? We've raised the problems. You can't possibly keep all the things in a conditional covenant or all the laws. What are the issues with an unconditional covenant? Anything? Nothing? It's all God's promise, God's grace. It'll happen. God says it will happen. Moment, you're right, there's no required response from us, and often that is called costly grace, which can be sought again and again and becomes cheap grace. Bonhoeffer said that cheap grace means that you can simply go on doing what you want to do, knowing that God will forgive you and that you're accepted. So that's the issue with simply unconditional covenants, is that if you're not careful, you keep on doing and doing and doing, and you know that God is willing to do that. So somewhere there has to be a response. And we'll move to that in a minute. Before I do that, before I move to the New Testament, there's a covenant that's there that I'm not sure you've ever heard of. It's called, I'll establish my covenant with you, your descendants, and with every living creature that was with you. The birds, the livestock, and the wild animals, all those that come out of the ark with you, I will establish a covenant with them. And in Hosea, in this day I'll make a covenant for them, with the beasts of the field, the birds in the sky, etc. There's nowhere else, as far as I know, in any religion that says that I will establish a covenant with animals and with every living thing. This gets just ignored. It's all too difficult to deal with. But it's there. It's sitting in the Bible quite clearly, quite expressively, that God makes a covenant with the animals. And I think that says a heck of a lot about God and his understanding of creation and so forth. And we have a creation that can sing, so that sometimes it's a bit more than what we are prepared to think about. So we have this extraordinary statement. And now let's move to the New Testament. Do we have covenant in the New Testament? Yes, someone said yes quite convincingly. Which is it? Yeah, tell me a bit more. Love one another, that's part of the covenant. And also, what's happening today? Yep. That's right. But also we have very specifically communion. We have the biblical proclamation in 1 Corinthians, which says, in the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So we have a covenant, a new covenant in there. And also then, we need to think about, how does it come that we have a response? There are places where it seems God says to his people, it's conditional, you have to obey me, I'm a holy God, I've got nothing. If you want to be accepted by me or have a relationship, then you have to obey me. There are other places where it seems that God is saying, no matter what you do, I'm going to be faithful to you. I'll be there. I won't give up, and so on. So which is it? And it's when we get to the cross of Calvary that the answer is revealed. The answer is yes. It's not one or the other. It's both. The covenant with God is both conditional and unconditional. In the death of Christ on the cross, you find that you have to take both the conditions of the covenant and the unconditional nature of God's love seriously at the same time. God satisfied the conditions of the covenant on our behalf so that God could accept us and love us unconditionally. And so we're sort of coming to the point where, in a moment, I'll ask you to be willing to re-covenant with this thing. So God made a covenant with the people of Israel, calling them to be a holy nation, chosen to bear witness to his steadfast love by finding delight in the law. But the covenant was renewed in Jesus Christ our Lord, in his life, his work, death and resurrection. In him, all people are set free from sin and power and united in love. In this covenant, God promises new life in Christ. And for our part, we promise to live no longer for ourselves, but for God. We meet therefore as generations have met before us to renew the covenant which bound them and binds us. Sisters and brothers in Christ, let us again accept our place within this covenant which God has made with us and with all who are called. And this means by the help of the Holy Spirit, we can accept God's purpose for us and the call to love and serve God in all our life and work. God has many services to be done. Some are easy, others difficult. Some bring honor, others bring reproach. Some are suitable to our mutual inclination and material interests. Others are contrary to both. In some we may please Christ and please ourselves. In others we cannot please Christ except by denying ourselves. Yet the power to do all these things is given to us in Christ who strengthens us. So therefore, let us make this covenant of God our own. Let us give ourselves to him, trusting in his promises and relying on his grace. So can we put it up so that people can read it before I then... Is it up behind me? God, in baptism you brought us into union with Christ, who fulfills your gracious covenant in bread and wine. We receive the fruit of his obedience, so with joy we take upon ourselves the yoke of obedience and commit ourselves to seek and do your perfect will. May we say together, starting from the beginning. Say together, those who are willing. I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. Exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine, I'm yours. To the glory and praise of your name, may it be so forever. Let this covenant now made on earth be fulfilled in heaven. We are the body of Christ. The Spirit is with us. Amen. Thank you. We now, in response to the word, also have our prayers of intercession.
Good morning. May 2026 be your best year ever. Will you join with me in prayer? Eternal and ever-loving God, creator of life and Lord of time, we thank you that you love each one of us as if we were the only one to love. Such knowledge empowers us and gives us the courage and the strength to face the challenges which life dishes out. Just a few days in from the beginning of this new year, we acknowledge that once more the only way to defeat the challenges which lie before us is to recognise that you stand with us. And no problem is so big that we cannot overcome. As the year unfolds, we pray for wisdom and grace to deal with whatever confronts us. You are with us. You have always been there, going before us to prepare the way, standing behind us, urging us on towards new hopes and a new creation. Being with us in the community of your people and the life of your Spirit. Yes, you have always been there, Lord, calling us again and again to truly follow you as we seek to strengthen our ministry in this community. Help us to walk quietly and thankfully away from the old year, even as we thank you for strength given in the midst of suffering and for hope arising out of fear. Help us, we pray, to see this moment as an opportunity to put the past behind us, to leave last year's pains and broken promises, challenges and concerns just where they lie. For the past has gone, and opportunities lie before us to be grasped. Lord, help us. We pray that for each of us, we might know you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly, day by day, throughout this year. In doing so, find your purpose and plan for us as individuals and as a church. Lord of yesterday, today and tomorrow, we gather here this first Sunday of the new year in a mixture of hope, anticipation, fear, excitement and expectation. We do not know what the year holds for us. There are things we are afraid of. Worries about health and family, job security and finances. But maybe there is also much to look forward to. Birthdays, weddings or anniversaries, holidays to enjoy, friends with whom we can laugh. Lord God, the coming year is full of uncertainty and, yes, hope. Because whatever the year holds for us, we trust you and we place every day of this year in your care, knowing that, as in the past, you are with us, caring for us with constant love. Help us, we pray, to in turn be bearers and sharers of that love as we go about our living. We are grateful for those who bring your message to us in different and special ways. Help us to listen and learn. We are so aware, Lord, of the brokenness of our world, of your world, where anger, hurt, frustration and fear lead people to do dreadful things to each other. Tolerance, acceptance, love, grace and peace are so badly missing in our world. Break down these barriers, we plead, and provide strength and courage for those who would stand up for what is good and right and life-giving. Father God, we each have issues close to our heart and desperately need to find assurance and peace. And so we pause in silence and lift our personal needs to you, knowing that our cries never go unheard. And so, Lord, we place ourselves into your keeping once more and dedicate our lives to your service through Jesus Christ, your Son and our Saviour. Will you join with me now as we say the prayer which Jesus taught? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
We're going to sing in preparation for communion. So please remain seated as we do that and bring our offerings to the Lord at the same time.
This is my body, broken for you. Take it, remembering I died for you. Take it and eat it, and as
as you do. Remember my presence within you. This is my blood poured out for you. Drink it, remembering I died for you. Take it and drink it, and as you do, remember my presence within. I am with you always, till the end of time, present within you, my love, you are mine. I am the bread of life, I am the true vine. Feast at my table, come, let us dine. I am the bread of life, I am the true vine. Feast at my table, come, let us dine. Feast at my table, let us die.
Lord, we praise you and thank you that we can come and feast at this table, feast of all that you have given to us in and through Jesus. And so, Lord, we bring our offerings this morning, those that Marge and Ken are holding, and pray that you would use them as we seek to serve you in this community. But more than that, Lord, we bring ourselves as we have done in the covenant prayer and pray that you would use us individually and collectively all our days. Amen.
Invitation to communion. We come to witness to all of God's acts from creation to redemption. You make covenants with the whole universe, humans and animals. You call on the hills and mountains to witness your acts, and creation sings your praise. So come, not because I invite you, because our Lord invites you. It is his will for those who want to meet him here. Your invitation. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, with friend, with stranger, with young and with old. Be among us this day. Come close that we may come close to you. Forgive us that we may forgive one another. Renew us so that where we have failed we begin again. Our prayer of remembrance. Blessed are you, O God, who brought forth bread from the earth. Blessed are you, O God, who created the fruit of the vine. In the beginning you watered the earth, that man and woman might have food and drink. You gave it to your servant Sarah, bread to strengthen her family on the journey, and wine to make me glad. Called Moses and the people out of bondage, and refreshed them with food in the wilderness. He gave Mary and Jesus their daily bread to share, and forever at this table, you offer us bread and wine for our journey, to nourish us as sons and daughters, and so with all our sisters and brothers before us and beside us. We praise you from our hearts for your unending goodness. And so we will say, I think we've got that thing. You've got the response to the thanksgiving prayer? Thank you. The God of love be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Great Creator Spirit, from whom all life comes forth, here we gather again with bread and with wine, seeking your presence, longing once more to be nourished. And so, we say together, we have the unity on earth and the peace among the nations. And we know that only in your love can such peace and unity be found. And so, with all that we are and all that we can give, we join with all creation as we proclaim your praises. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We have what's called an epiphysis prayer, which is asking for the Spirit to be present with us. So let us pray. So as we do in this place what you did in an upstairs room, send down your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. That may come for us your body, healing, forgiving, and making us whole. That we may become for you, your body, loving and caring in the world until your kingdom comes on earth as in heaven. Amen. Now the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant, shed that you might have life and wholeness, drink and eat now. My understanding is that you serve bread and wine and keep them, and we will consecrate together. So I have three helpers, I understand. Is that right? Body of Christ, broken for you, eat and drink. The new covenant, shed that you might have life and wholeness, drink it and be glad. And say together the prayer after him. Lord of compassion, as we partake in this communion, empower us to serve others as Jesus did. Grant us the strength and the heart to extend love and kindness to those in need. No, we're not doing this. We've already had the Lord's Prayer, so we don't have it again. So, now, pick the song. We're going to have a song, Shout for Joy. What happened to
you? The song comes from Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. I'm not sure. I don't know. We have sung it at least once. But you will. It's quite singable, I hope. Please stand.
For joy to the Lord, all the earth, come before him with joyful songs. Worship the Lord with gladness. Shout for joy to the Lord. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth, come before him with joyful songs. Worship the Lord with gladness. Shout for joy to to the Lord. No, yes, know that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Shout for joy to the Lord. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Come before Him with joyful songs. Worship the Lord with gladness. Shout for joy to the Lord. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Enter His courts with songs of praise. Give thanks to the Lord and praise His name. Shout for joy to the Lord. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Come before Him with joyful songs. Worship the Lord with gladness. Shout for joy to the Lord. The Lord is good, and His love endures. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Shout for joy to the Lord. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Come before Him with joyful songs. Worship the Lord with gladness. Shout for joy to the Lord. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Come before Him with joyful songs. Worship the Lord with gladness. Shout for joy, shout. Shout for joy, shout for joy. Shout for joy to the Lord. Amen.
Okay. On our heads and on our house, blessing of God. On our coming and going, in our life and believing, at our end and new beginning, the arms of God to welcome us and bring us home. Amen. I keep looking to see this.
Come before Him with joyful songs. Worship the Lord with gladness. Shout for joy, shout for joy. Shout for joy, shout for joy. Shout for joy to the Lord.